The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Okay, before we start today's show, let's just take a moment and talk about Sheath underwear. We love Sheath underwear here on the Believe You Me podcast. They are the most comfortable underwear in the world. They're made with multi-directional fabric, which sculpts precisely to your body. It's moisture-wicking, cooling, stretchy, breathable, and incredibly comfortable. This is the perfect holiday gift for the man in your life, okay? Very unique design. They have a special pocket, so you can actually take your package and Sheath your package into your underwear. I've never felt sexier than I'm wearing my Sheath underwear. And right now you should know that we're going to give you 30% off your entire order if you go to sheathunderwear.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE30 at sheathunderwear.com. That's S-H-E-A-T-H. underwear.com. Save 30% off. And you should know, I know we have a lot of UK fans, they do ship in the UK as well. So once again, that is sheathunderwear.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE30 and enjoy your shopping.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're back. Personal jinx, you can't talk or you owe me a Coke, motherfucker.
I don't know that expression. That sounds like some weird voodoo, childish New York City nonsense. But we are back. It is Thursday. Thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a believer. Crazy day of weather. This week is 90 degrees in California, and then yesterday, ridiculous hailstorm, Lewis. I mean, ridiculous hailstorm, like very, very heavy, blasted down from the heavens. And they say climate change is not a real thing. I beg to differ, my friend.
Oh boy,
I beg to differ.
I don't know anything. I really don't know anything. The whole climate change. Do we know? Do you remember? Do you remember what it was like 20 years ago in California? 100 years ago?
I only moved to California in 2011, so I have no idea. But I do know the world is going crazy. There's fires everywhere. There's ice falling from the skies. The place is getting very hot. It's getting very cold. Places are getting flooded. That's always happened. But still, whatever. Let's just make a conscious effort to make the world a better place. But let's not get too political right off the bat because it defies the audience.
That's the thing. It was global warming, right? And then they were like, all right, well, you know, it's not really warming so much. We're just going to call it climate change now. It's like, yeah, it's just a thing. I don't know. Here's what I say. You can't rearrange the cards, baby boy. Play the hand you're dealt. Be as prosperous as possible. Do right by your friends, family. Be a good person. But if I'm going to sit here and worry about fucking hailstorms and the fucking ice caps melting and all this other shit, it's going to be a long day.
Sounds like the worst self-help book you've ever read.
That's a good self-help book.
No, it's a joke. See UFC 199 press conference. That's the worst self-help book you've ever read. Conceive, believe, achieve. Oh. Don't make me finish the line. Let's not get into climate change. I was just saying, but it was crazy yesterday. The hailstorm did come down very hard. I've never seen that here. And it was 90 degrees the day before. Anyway, what have you been up to, Lewis? I heard you were tripping the light fantastic in New York City last night, going down, concerts, grunging out, rocking, jumping in mosh pits, generally acting like a 12-year-old. What were you up to, Lewis? What's going on?
No, none of that happened, actually. This was two nights ago. And it also, that's actually my problem. I went to go see Tool with my friends, me, Big J Okerson, bunch of great comedians, Nick Mullen, the girls from the Guys We Fucked podcast. It was a pretty solid little crew of comedians and podcasters. We got an entire row, eighth row of Tool in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. Now, when Tool was popular, you were you know, DJ Mikey B. You were doing glow sticks, selling ecstasy at the backs of nightclubs in England. You don't even understand how cool and how great and how influential Tool is. But I got to be honest with you, I was disappointed.
Oh, really? Okay, so after that slanderous attack, accusing me of being a drug dealer, accusing me of using glow sticks and being a cheese ball, being a cheesy quaver, as you call them in England, you went there and this whole experience that you had sucked. Okay.
It wasn't great. Right. It wasn't. It was, look, it was good. But Tool's music, it doesn't work really well in a giant stadium like that. So it's just like, just rock music in general. You want to hear it in a small club. You want to hear it with just a few hundred people in the crowd. When it's a big, massive theater like that, it just kind of sounds hollow. You sort of lose some of the detail. And the light show was cool, and it was great, and everyone was tripping on things and doing drugs and smoking weed. But I feel like the fan base has aged out of being cool. Like, there are these older, like, everyone's, I'm 37 years old, I'm fucking cool, I'm a cool 37 year old, but it's like everyone's in their late 30s, 40s, and it's just sort of like, I'm looking around, I'm like, we stink. Like, we're parents, we're adults, we're not cool kids anymore. And it kind of just bummed me out. I was like, you know what, Tool should fucking retire.
Yeah, this is the thing. As bands get older, you know, if they were, I don't know when the heyday of Tool, sorry, Korn, Tool. Tool. I don't know when the heyday of Tool was. I mean, when was it? What, in the 90s?
I'd say 90s, turn of 2000. That's when I would say they were, you know, as so big, like, as they ever were.
So like a good 20 years ago. So obviously the
same era as Smashing Pumpkins, who you just saw. And I would probably guess the crowd was very similar.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. That's where I was going, because we were there, what, last week or the week before. And yeah, I got to say, you know, I mean, you know me, you know, coolest guy of the year, 2016, former champion, you know, actor, podcaster extraordinaire. You know, I'm a cool guy. I have a lot of cool points. I went there. I was like, oh, geez, Louise, look at the clientele. The clientele was choice. The clientele was choice. They looked like they hadn't showered very often. There was a couple of cool people. There was a couple of decently looking good people. But on the whole, very, very misfits. The crowd, there you go. That's the word. It was full of misfits, which is cool. I don't mind people like that. You know what I mean? They're very, very interesting, decent people. But yeah, as I say, a select crowd nonetheless. But no judgment here, baby boy. But did you have a good time? I mean, because the experience is what you make it. I have a good time everywhere I go, generally, because, you know, I have a good time. But did you?
I did. It was a fun time. It was a good show. It was just sort of a couple things happen when I go to concerts. Number one, after about a half an hour, I start to, I don't want to say, it's not that I get bummed out. I just start going, I start getting almost motivated to work. I'm like, I should be on stage right now. What am I doing watching somebody else create right now? I should be doing what I'm doing. And I start to, I have like ADD and I get kind of crazy and I get in my head about it. So I don't get to enjoy the, you know, a concert or a live show the same way that other people do. I start to, I don't know. It's a bad motivation. It's not even good. I start to get bummed out.
Yeah, you sound miserable. You sound miserable, Lewis. And I believe, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, you haven't put up your Christmas decorations yet, have you? You haven't done it.
Well, you can't put them up before Thanksgiving. That's psychotic.
Well, hold on. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, because it makes Thanksgiving better. You know, it's nice and glowy. You got a glow of the Christmas tree. Maybe you got a fairy on top.
Maybe some light sticks.
Maybe some light sticks. Maybe we're selling ecstasy in the corner. Maybe we're spiking the turkey. No, apparently, if you're so miserable, by the way, you reminded me of when I used to be a tiler. When I was an apprentice tiler and plasterer, I found myself whenever I was in like a pub bathroom looking at the tile work and comparing the tile work, saying, yep, that's a bad job. So you were there at the concert and thinking, I should be on stage and I should be doing better. But no, the study just came out this week saying the earlier you put up your Christmas decorations, Lewis, the happier person you are. You know, and you're going around, you're miserable, you're like kind of a Grinch. Go out there, put your decorations up, Lewis. Be happy. A psychoanalyst from a university said this. A study shows, a very, very important study, the earlier you put up your Christmas decorations, the more festive, the more jolly, just generally a more cheery person you are.
Mm. See, this is my problem. This is not even a real story. Like, it is a real story, but it's not, it's just fucking fake and stupid. Yeah, obviously. You know, if I put up a glowing Christmas tree with decorations in my home and it makes you feel good. So in that case, why don't we just leave up our Christmas trees year round? What will happen because eventually?
that is psychotic, and you take away from the specialness of it. You know, if it's there all year, you know, it just becomes an ornament. It becomes a weird indoor tree with lights on. That's just stupid. But once a year, it becomes special. And here's the thing, Lewis. I mean, you speak about it ad nauseum. You know, you had it tough growing up, and here it is. Here's psychoanalyst Steve McEwen tells Unilad, in a world full of stress and anxiety, people like to associate to things that make them happy, and Christmas decorations evoke those strong feelings of the childhood. Decorations are simply an anchor or a pathway to those old childhood magical emotions of excitement. So putting up those Christmas decorations early extends the excitement.
You could also do a study, and I'm sure that the color blue probably is calming. So let's paint all of our fucking walls blue. I bet you could also do a study that if you had
spoken like a true person that isn't putting up Christmas decorations this year. You know what I mean? Bar humbug. Get it. Poor James. Tell James to come and live at our house for Christmas, okay?
I wish.
We've got the guys outside. They're putting the lights up as we speak. They're putting them up. It's costing a small fortune. We're going to put the tree up at the weekend. You know, we're going to get festive. We're going to get cheery. We've got family coming in from Australia. We're very excited. Send James over. We'll show him how it's done.
Yeah, before Thanksgiving, it's crazy. I almost, in a weird way, if it wasn't so busy on Thanksgiving, I do like the tradition of putting up the tree on Thanksgiving, making it a thing. While if I had a family and a wife that was cooking, and I could bring in the tree, and the kids are starting to do it, and then when she, you know, the turkey's in the oven, she comes out and starts hanging. But look, that ain't happening, baby boy. I got a fucking bachelor pad. It's when James isn't there, it's essentially a drug den. So I have two different lives. Every other day, it's like I'm a dad one day, I'm a fucking bachelor with bitches the next day.
Because I was going to say, you're definitely romancing the putting up the Christmas tree there, because you're like, oh, if you had a wife that was cooking, you'd put the tree up. No, you wouldn't. I don't touch the tree, to be honest. That's Rebecca Bisping's environment. I help her pull it out from under the stairs. I pass it to her. I do that. And then I go away, because it's the most annoying, laborsome process ever. And she's addicted to the baubles or balls or whatever.
She does. She loves balls.
She loves a good ball, and that's all she does. And if anybody gets involved with the tree, she gets very territorial. Sorry, I'm burping on my tea. She gets very territorial. And Lucas, obviously, being a child, wants to help, and she gets very angry. She's like, no, Lucas, please, you're putting the balls in the wrong place. Too many similar colors close to one another. So it does turn wildly... I don't know, aggressive.
We showed our trees last year, and I thought your tree was solid, you know, but it's just a little different. I'm biting the bullet this year. I'm not getting a real tree. I'm going to buy a fake tree. I gave you shit last year for the, you know, you only have a fake tree. Am I wrong? Did you have like a fucking white tree? It was like a glowing blue tree. What was it? It was not very realistic. It did not look like a tree.
Well, listen. I take a lot of offense to that comment. Only a douchebag has a white tree in their house. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you've got a white tree and you're listening to this, do yourself a favor. Throw it in the trash. Get rid of it. Throw it in the bin. Throw it in the garden. Chuck it over the fence. Just do whatever you want to get rid of it. White trees, it's not the 80s anymore. First of all, it came, wow, have you seen this? You can get a white tree. It's like it's snowing inside, but it's not snowing. No, we had a green tree. We have a fake tree, but it's a very, very good one. But I'm going to blow your mind there, Lewis. Half mansion, 2019, two trees, doggy. We're going crazy. We're going all in this year. We're getting a second tree in the living room. Bow, 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 bow.
Two trees. There are families out there that can't even afford one tree. So instead of donating your extra tree.
Sucks to be them. Sucks to be them. Not in our house. We're going all out. Christmas cheer through the roof. Two trees. You're not going to be able to move for catching the reflection of a bauble or maybe a piece of tinsel. It's just going to be amazing. Eggnog, turkey, beef, vegetarian style, of course.
Vegetarian, you know, turkey and beef and a virgin eggnog, obviously.
Fucking Christmas is going to be sick in this house. I can't wait. You know, people that can't afford a tree? Well, it sucks to be you. My bad. Does.
I'm going to buy a fake tree this year. I'm going to buy one. I went online. There are beautiful ones. They're fucking expensive as hell. Very expensive. It's going to be probably $700-$800 for the tree that I'm going to buy. But It looks extremely real. It smells like a real tree. It's guaranteed to last for like 20 years. This is another level. Because last year what I did was I had a company come and set up my tree because I live on a fourth floor walk up. So it's not just it's not like just pulling a tree into the house. I have to carry the tree up the entire up the apartment stairs, right? And then after that, I have to go and vacuum the entire all four floors because fucking pine needles have flown everywhere.
Listen, I get what you're saying, and it sounds like a laborsome process, but I guarantee I am willing to put all my BIM coin on the fact that you have never gone and vacuumed all four floors. You probably just vacuum a little bit on the hallway outside your door, and then that's it. The other three floors, they're not your problem. Out of sight, out of mind.
I agree with you, Mike.
I just sweep it out in front of my door and sweep it down the stairwell. I don't fucking never. No. I'm a liar. By the way, know me.
I knew.
I'm not lying now. He's right. I have never once gone down and vacuumed the pine needles because I'll tell you why. How do they know? Whose tree it was? It's somebody's tree.
Hey, you're not there. It's done. It is what it is. And you're creating a job for someone. The janitor, the housekeeper, the cleaners. You know, you're giving them work to do. Our second tree, though, you're talking $700. My God, Lewis, calm down, buddy. With the second tree we're getting, it's beautiful. I forget the brand of it, but it comes with the lights already on. And there's a special offer on right now. It's like $299, and it's 6 foot tall. It's very big. It's bright. It's beautiful. It's nice. Easy, Tiger. Jesus Christ. I'm not insulting your trees. My God. We're not going to put it up before Thanksgiving, but the people are outside here hammering away, putting up the lights. Christmas is starting, gets earlier and earlier every year. Problem is for us, we have teenage kids. I know it's a little early for this conversation, but we're really struggling now what to buy our children. I mean, James is easy. Lucas is easy. You know, when they're that age, there's plenty of toys on the market.
Dildos.
Yeah, you know, whatever floats your boat. But when you're 18 and 17, it's a little harder, you know, because everything's expensive. They want earbuds. Every year, the earbuds on the list or headphones. Without fail, every single year, always some form of headphone on the list.
I think you should only buy $30 headphones max. Because you lose, they're lost, and nobody. They're not an acoustician. They have no idea the intricacies of which headphones sound better than the next headphones. It's fine. You get a pair of Skullcandy headphones. Boom. You lose them. Guess what? You get another pair. Keep them in the kitchen. Keep it a couple extra pair. But if people spend $200-$300 on headphones, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. And I do the same thing. I honestly do. Whenever I buy headphones, I buy cheap ones because the sound quality isn't that much better. I normally buy the Panasonic over-the-ear ones, the $29.99. And guess what? I don't care if I break them. I don't care if I leave them on a plane, if I leave them in my bag or whatever, lose them. I just don't care. I just buy another one next time I'm at the airport. If you go out there, remember a few years ago, all the rage was Beats. Beats headphones. I must have bought so many pairs of Beats. They break pretty easily. So I said, that's it. We're done with Beats. And then the other day, Callum has some Bose Bluetooth headphones we got for Christmas a couple of years ago. And he's like, Dad, my headphones are broken. Can I get some new ones? And he sends me a link to the same ones. I'm like, no, you can't. I found some Sennheiser over the ear, $49.99. I'm like, there you go, son. Perfect. That's all you need. Anyone out there, don't waste money on good headphones. If you're just sitting on a plane or going for a jog, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if it's your job, like, you know, you should have nice headphones for your podcast at home, but you can't because your children will steal them. And that's fine.
I have these here. What are these? I think these are little Panasonic, and these do the job fantastically. They don't. When you look at me, you can't really see them. I mean, you look a little ridiculous. You got those gigantic headphones on. There's no need for them, Lewis.
I look like
small, discreet. You know, doesn't impair the view. People aren't looking. They're not getting distracted by the 1980s headphones on your head.
Well, these are noise canceling headphones, and I'm a professional broadcaster. See what happens for you. And people that listen to the show, they know this. We'll be having a conversation, right? And then something will be happening in the background, like over off to your left. And then I just see you get distracted, and then the dog will walk by. You hear the clicks of his steps, and I see your head go up, and you're like, "What's that?" I have none of that. Okay. They argue in the other office regularly. They're fighting. There's other podcasts going on, but this is professional.
I know. Whether or not I had noise-canceling headphones, the arguing in the background comes through the feed. So I hear them in these headphones. I'd hear them in your headphones. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they need to fix that problem going forward, okay? Noise-canceling or not. All right, guys, let's just take a quick second to hear from BetDSI.com. You know the drill. BetDSI.com, gambling site. Been in business over 20 years. Built a history on fast payment of winnings. And as you know, if you're watching sport, you're watching a fight, whatever it is, if you've got money involved, it makes it more interesting. So if you're watching fights and you want to put some money on, take it from me. BetDSI.com is the site you want to use. Been in business forever, and they've got great customer service available 24/7, 365. And talking of bets and talking of putting money on, let's talk about the upcoming pay-per-view December 14th. In the main event, we got the long-awaited Kamaru Usman taking on Colby Covington. So if you were to go to BetDSI.com, Lewis, and bet on the Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington fight, and you use the promo code BYM120, up to $1,000, they will give you a 60% bonus cash match. Okay, so for example, if you put $1,000 down, it will turn into $1,600. But if you were to make that bet, Lewis, Usman, Covington, which way are you going to lean?
I mean, dude, this is a tough one. What are the odds here, Harrington? Do you know the actual odds on that fight?
A couple weeks out, you can get Colby Covington still at about plus 160, and Kamaru Usman is returning at minus 185.
Plus 160, Covington as the underdog. I like it. I got to be honest with you. I think that you have two high-level wrestlers. I think that Covington, you've seen the output that he's had lately with the striking. You see the cardio improved. He's looked as good as he's ever looked. I just got to say, I think he's got a little bit of an advantage with the striking, and I think the wrestling is going to sort of cancel each other out. I would put my money on Covington being the underdog. And not for nothing, I want to see that Masvidal-Covington fight eventually. So I'm sort of rooting for Covington in a weird way.
Not a bad pick. I'm going to wait until we get a little bit closer to the fight until I make mine. But there you go. If you want to do the same, you want to get involved, go to BetDSI.com and use the promo code BYM120. All right. What else is going on in the world, Lewis? I forgot what we put on the notes. I don't have a copy of it in front of me, but what are we doing here?
We don't need notes, baby boy. We can just wing it. We have the best dynamic in the podcasting game. I need a fucking note.
You're absolutely right. We could do this. We could freestyle all day long. I do want to say a big shout out Paul Craig for the last episode. He was great. What an awesome interview that was. And what a great guy. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Paul's the man. And thank you for retweeting that. Go follow Paul Craig as well. Super cool guy. I'm getting called. This is you want to know what an asshole I am? This is where I'm living my life. This is where you take it for granted that you don't have, that you have a wife and a family and somebody to take care of you. Noticing Spectrum is calling me, my cable company, because I owe them money. And that's how I know to pay my bill. Is I get a phone call and I go, oh, I got to pay that now.
I can't stand them. They call me all the time and I find myself getting very, very irate and short and angry with them because they call because they just want to upsell your package. Do you know what I mean? I think we have ours on direct pay, you know, automatic payment every month. So it gets taken care of. But they call and I see the phone and I don't recognize the number. And I think, well, it might be important. So I answer. And then every time I'm like, God damn, they got me again. They're like, hello, sir, Mr. And you know, it's a bullshit call when they don't even know your name. They go, Mr. Bisting. I'm like, oh, God, already I want to kill him. Number one, Bisping, B-I-S-P-I-N-G. It's very simple. It sounds exactly how it's written. And then they go on to Mr. Bisting, would you like to upgrade your thing? And I'm like, go fuck yourself. Hang up. Don't call me again, please. It's so annoying.
Here's the problem. I mean, because I thought at this point, I remember years ago, I was like, I'm not going to need cable. Eventually, I'll just have the internet. I'll have streaming services. But it's a weird thing. When you have kids, I don't really watch TV like that. When I try to choose something on Netflix, I will just stare at my TV for 2 full hours and just keep on scrolling through. Sometimes I just need to be inspired. It's why I go, It's why I buy my groceries at the grocery store still. Because I could buy it at Amazon Fresh, but I'm not going to be inspired. I'm not going to remember something that I forgot that I just see on a shelf. Or like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize that I wanted to get some Gouda cheese. But you know what? I'm here, and I'm inspired now. So that's sort of what happens with TV is, like, I'll be flipping through the channels. My kid will see something. A movie will come on that I would never have watched because I wasn't thinking about it. So, in a weird way, you kind of need cable.
We have spoken for many months, me and Rebecca, about cancelling cable. You know, and my justification is the only reason I want it, and I'm sure there's apps out there, is the news. I want the news, the local news, the national news, international, whatever. And I'm sure there's a dozen apps out there. But as you say, with regular TV, there is also that inspiration. You know, you do stumble across some shows. And on Netflix, as you say, it's the same thing. Everybody does the same thing. You sit down in front of Netflix, and you spend forever just scrolling through it. And you go, no, don't want to watch that. And then sometimes in bed, me and Rebecca are there. And she's like, let's just put something on to fall asleep. So in the end, I just go, sod it, boom, put that on. And she's like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. She goes, well, we're not watching it. I'm like, babe, we just want to watch something to fall asleep to. Who knows? It might be good. It might be bad. But the idea is we just want something on to fall asleep. Your alternative is that we stand there and we flick through these bullshit shows for another half an hour. And then in the end, you just go, you know what? Fuck it, turn it off.
Yeah,
they need to update the browsing of Netflix. They need to have like the top 20 shows right now in your area or something like that. It needs some work. Netflix, step your game up.
Yeah, there's not any single streaming service that just sort of has it all. Like Hulu's fine, but they have commercials. Fucking assholes. And they have all like the newest stuff, which is good. Netflix, it's for my kid. Honestly, I have all this stuff just for my kid because he wants to watch all these movies. He wants to watch all these TV shows. So, you know, I don't know. I'm at this point, if $8 a month is creating that much of a problem in my life, I think I have more problems.
Yeah, but our monthly like cable, I think it's like $200 and something because we've got all the stupid add-ons. We've got the sport channels. We've got HBO. We've got all that stuff. It's like $200 and something every month. And that's without the months where you have a UFC pay-per-view, which is like another 70. So that really ramps it up. But yeah, we got to get rid of our standard TV, our direct TV. It sucks. And the majority of it is bullshit. It's a lot of shows that you've seen before. They're all on repeat. It's crap. It is. I'm doing it.
Have you watched anything new lately that I should watch?
No, I'm about to start The Crown, season 3 of The Crown. I like that. I've been watching Peaky Blinders. That's good. What's another one we've been into recently? I don't know. I started watching, what is it called? Oh, I forget it. I can't remember its name. It was a while ago. But yeah, Peaky Blinders. I mean, I'm halfway through the latest season of that. Do you like a bit of Peaky?
I've never seen a bit of Peaky, but I'm into Snowfall right now, which I don't even know if I've recommended this to you yet. It's fire.
Really?
Awesome. And the main actor's What's British. He was a black kid. I didn't realize he's a British kid, but he plays the Southern Californian kid in the 80s. And it's about the beginning of the crack epidemic. And I will tell you this much. The first 4 or 5 episodes will make you want to do cocaine. Like when you watch an old-timey movie where they're smoking cigarettes, and you're like, I want a cigarette now. The first four or five episodes of this show, you're like, I want to go back to the 80s and do the best coke in the world.
Yeah, I saw it advertised, actually. I did. Yeah, I have seen that, and I did want to watch it. And I know what you mean, because I remember Trainspotted when that movie came out. That got a lot of shit, people saying that it was glamorizing heroin use. But a show that I did start watching, that I think I am on the second season. It's very good, Lewis. You might like it. It's called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Very, very good. It's about a woman in New York. She leaves her husband and becomes a stand-up comedian. And she gets an agent and all the rest of it. And it's fun. It's really, really good. And it's really good, you know, because it shows it from a comedian standpoint. She's trying to go up. She bombs a lot and this and that. And then she works on her material. She you know, perfects the joke and stuff like that. It's really good. Obviously, it's from a female's perspective. But it's a really good show. And the lead actress, she's really good. Very, very good actress. And yeah, it's a good show. Check it out, Lewis. You might like it. I don't know. Being the sexist old school Neanderthal pig that you are, maybe you won't. Maybe you can't just see past the fact that a female can be funny. I mean, you know, I can. I'm a massive fan of female comedians, but you yourself, you know, you're stuck in a time warp.
I am a little bit old school, though. I truly am. You know, but I like some female comics. I'm just saying I'm a little bit of like, it's a weird thing because like I was just sort of raised, like if I go out with a chick, like I was raised to just always pay for everything. Mm. You know, I was raised to like, you open the door for her, you know, and it's just
chivalry.
Like, yes, chivalry. I really was, but I was also raised that women were sort of less than. Is it weird?
I don't know if I was raised less than. I definitely believe in chivalry. You know, I mean, of course, you know, women want equality and all the rest of it, and they should have equality. And I think for the most part these days, they do, or it's definitely becoming, you know, the gap is closing, which is a great thing. But I do like to be chivalrous. I like to hold the door for a woman. You know, I like to pay for the check. I like to, you know what I mean? Just generally, if somebody's struggling, I'll give up my seat for a woman or an elderly person, you know, things like that. And I think it would be a sad world if that entirely went.
You know, I agree.
Women didn't want that. You know, it's nice. It's nice. It's traditional.
And I think the idea, the concept of equality is sort of silly. It's like, no, not everything needs to be completely equal. I mean, there are people, some people are fat and they need pants that are bigger than other people that are skinny. There, you know, it's not everything is one size fits all in the world. So it's like, no, I think that, I don't know. I just sort of have that in me where if a woman is, you know, coming up to me, I'll hold the door open for her. And there's no, it's not saying that she can't hold the door open for herself or doesn't have the strength to hold the door open for herself. It's just how I was raised. It's as simple as that. And I wasn't raised.
It's called being polite. It's called being polite. And I'll hold the door open for a man as well. Do you know what I mean? Man, woman, kid, whatever it is. I'll hold the door. I'll do this. It's called being a nice person. You know what I mean? And there shouldn't be a problem with that. But it's funny that you mentioned, what did you mention a second ago? Fat people or a fat person. A kid went into daycare recently. Did you see this? I think it was down in Houston or somewhere. Kid went into daycare and the mother put a little note inside the lunchbox that said, it was directed to the teacher or the daycare worker, whatever you want to call her. Please let my son know or my child know that mommy loves him or her and can't wait to see her tonight. And then when the kid came home that evening, there was a letter back to the parent saying, what is it, Lewis? Because I see you looking up the story right
now. It says, no, it's fucked up in marker. It says, no, put him on a diet and go away.
Ooh, it's a little mean.
The mom says, it took a minute to register what I even saw, and I just kept rereading it and just stood there for a minute. The mother, Francesca Easton, told CNN, she posted this to Facebook. She said in her post that her son, Kyler, is a picky eater. She introduced him to healthy options in his lunchbox and wanted to make him smile at lunch. For the record, I feel like he's perfect the way he is. I'm just helping him making healthier choices. Instead of his school being supportive, I'm in absolute shock of what happened.
I don't think that would be the school, would it? That's just some idiotic worker that they've employed. I don't think the school would actually sign off on that kind of behavior. I mean, but that is shocking. I mean, what an asshole. I mean, that's nice. You know, you send your kid off, you know, and she just wants to say something nice and, you know, try and get the teacher to send a little nice message. Let the kid know that mom loves him and we're thinking about you at home. And she does that. I mean, on the flip side, maybe it was a really, 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 really fat little bastard that does need some emergency help. You know, maybe you've got to be cruel to be kind in this world. And maybe that's what was going on, Lewis.
I'm looking at this. I have a weird, I don't buy these things. Am I crazy? I'm a skeptic. Every time I see somebody post something into Facebook and they tell the story, I look at it like a detective. I go, well, why would a teacher do that? And I can't get there. Like, my mind can't connect the dots as why a daycare employee would go and do that. But I can connect the dots as to why a mom would fake something like this and create some sort of false victimhood to be...
No. Think about it. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But there's a lot of weird people out there. This person might have been having a bad day. Maybe this kid's a little shit, right? Drives the teacher or the daycare worker crazy, you know what I mean? And just run out of patience. Maybe she's crazy. Maybe she has mental problems. Maybe she's on a period. Maybe it's a guy that's just having a bad day and he wants to lash out. And it's like, do you know what? I'm sick of people asking me to do things. No, I will not say I love you and put this bloody kid on a diet. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't automatically assume bullshit. You know,
well, this
I mean,
happens a
you
lot.
You never know. People are crazy, man.
This happens a lot where like, they're like waitresses will falsify notes they get on like checks and they go viral, right? And it'll be like, you know, whatever it is, it'll say, you know, this person tipped me zero and then wrote a really rude note and they post it and it goes viral and people talk about it. I saw another one recently where there was a mom who It was so obviously not real. There's actually a subreddit called. Look up the name of the subreddit. I forget the name of it completely, but it's something along the lines of like
that yeah, really happened.
Yeah, that yeah, it's called like yeah that happened or something like that, and it's just bullshit. Like it, this, I feel like should be on that because I can't get there. I don't understand why they would do that, and just sort of the whole. I feel like the mom's trying to get attention and trying to look like good. Look, you can't fat shame. You have to be body positive. And there's like a whole movement out there for that. And she gets rewarded for this. And now it's a story. I don't know. They can't get a comment from the daycare facility. It's just sort of strange. Here's the way I feel about it. Yes, you should watch what your kids are eating. You should really care. But, you know... You can't really fucking be shitty to parents. You can't go up to, I practice peaceful parenting. If I see a parent disciplining their kid in public, I have to fight myself not to say something because it's a very weird thing. And there's these boundaries. And the reality is like, it's really not any of my business for the most part to go up and tell somebody how to raise their kid. I do it through these podcasts. I do it through social media. I talk about it. I think people should consider it and should consider maybe not striking or screaming at their kids. But at the same time, when you kind of cross that line, I feel like it's like, yeah, no, fuck you. If that really happened.
Generally, people should mind their own business and stay out of the way other people raise their children, unless they are hitting them, of course. I've never hit any of my kids, not once. I know I joke about it, and I'll say I slapped him and whatever. I threw Lucas down the stairs, and I whip him and things like that. Maybe I take a hot iron and scold him.
Well, you put a cigarette out on his arm, but honestly...
But it's just character building. It is what it is. You know, one day he'll thank me for that. I mean, he stepped out of line. He asked for something. He didn't say, please, you get a cigarette put out on your arm.
If he's going to have the heart and spirit of a champion, he's going to have to get some cigarettes put out on his arm.
If he's going to have the audacity to walk out looking the way that he does, you know what I mean? He better get used to a bit of insults. He better get used to a little slap here and there. No, I've never hit my kids once. And generally, you should mind your own business when it comes to other people's children. Unless, as you say, there is some abuse going on. But what else we got, doggy? What else is going on in the world?
I thought this was an interesting story. I mean, we could talk about it. Well, obviously, there's not a ton of MMA news today or this week, for that matter. So we will talk a little bit about some fights and answer some of your questions today. But there was this, I guess Chick-fil-A is back in the news. It's not even a big, crazy story, but I thought it did sort of relate to something that's happening in MMA right now. So Chick-fil-A, notoriously, the people who run the company are religious. Like, they're not open on Sundays.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why.
So annoying. Because I do like a good Chick-fil-A sandwich, and I want one on a Sunday sometimes, and they're not open. I'm like, come on. Yeah. I mean, I get it that you're religious, but how much custom are they losing there? But continue, go on. So they're a religious company, and?
And I guess they've made contributions to certain anti... or certain religious groups that have had anti-LGBT standings and sort of, it's a reality. If you're making a donation to a church, guess what? They're probably anti-LGBT. This is a weird thing. You know, it's like you want to have a real conversation about it. No, if you believe in God, you probably believe that a man should not lie with a man and a woman shouldn't lie with a woman, and you should, be happy with the genitalia that you're born with. So it's this sort of like unspoken thing where it's like, You can't sort of like pit these things against each other, but you also can't have, everything can't be perfect in the world. So yeah, these are religious people, and people have the right to a religion. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't really care. I don't look at a company's religious beliefs and decide whether or not I'm going to eat there. I don't look at their political beliefs and say, oh, I'm not going to use that post office now or that company. But apparently Chick-fil-A, they said that they are no longer going to donate to these groups that have anti-LGBT views.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad. Generally, I don't look at a business, and I wouldn't even know where to start, finding out whether or not their religious beliefs. I mean, of course, as you say, they seem to be in the news a lot recently, and Chick-fil-A are very religious by all accounts, but I couldn't care less. Well, here's what I want to know. Is the sandwich good? Is the food clean? Is the kitchen clean? Is it a high quality? If so, great. Whether they're very religious, whether they're a Buddhist, Christian, Muslim, whatever it is, I couldn't care less. If they're an atheist, couldn't care less. Is the food good? Is it delicious? Is it tasty? Other than that, I'd appreciate it if you kept religious beliefs to yourself, because a lot of people have opposing views. Not everybody agrees on the same thing. So when it's business, just keep your stuff to yourself. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of people, they get preachy when it comes to religion. I'm not religious, you know, but I respect your beliefs. But if I say that I'm not religious, oh my God, hell hath no fury. They come after me and they give me shit, but I have to listen to you. I have to see people on the street corner. I have Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door. And I politely say, no, thank you. Not today, sir. Bye-bye. Take care. But if I say I'm not religious, woo-hoo, they come after me. As I say, I don't care. Is your chicken sandwich good? If so, I'll eat it. If not, beat it. See what I did there?
I like that. That was a little DJ Mikey B. You can't escape it anymore.
I just can't let it go, man. It's in there. It's in the blood. It's in the DNA. What can I say?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to look at a company, right? So you look at a company like the UFC and you go like, okay, well, Dana White is buddy-buddy with Trump. But the next guy in line probably hates Trump. And guess what? I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me. If I was going to sit there and try to look at every employee's political and social beliefs and religious beliefs and go, they need to align with me, you're not going to be able to use any products. Do we have this microphone? I have no idea what the CEO of this company believes and if they align with my social and political beliefs. Who fucking cares? It's actually, in spite of that, this is what's beautiful. This is what I really love about this country, or really about this world. In spite of the fact that we have different social, political and beliefs and views on the world, we could come together and I could exchange money for this microphone and he can take that money and go and build his thing. And we could all say, hey, fuck it. Who cares how we were raised? Who cares if we look at the world differently? We're still all doing what we want to do. We're still all living our dreams and creating what we want to create. So people that have that attitude, it's very close-minded. That happened with Equinox. Remember we talked about it on the show, like the CEO donating to Trump's campaign and people were freaking out.
Yeah, you did say that. But at the start of this story, you said it related to mixed martial arts in some way. How does it relate to MMA?
Slightly. Well, I was going to say, I guess it was just on one of these websites today that Trump is going to invite Masvidal to the White House. And then I started thinking about Trump being at UFC 244, I believe it was. At the Garden. And
yes.
Yeah.
But how does it relate to Chick-fil-A?
As it relates, a lot of people were very torn about how they felt about Trump being at the UFC event and about Dana White taking pictures with Trump. And it's a little bit of I'm sort of torn in a weird way.
Yeah, no, I see the correlation what you're making. If you know, if you like the sandwich, then if you agree with their religious beliefs, then you'll eat their sandwiches. If you don't follow Trump or like Trump, then I'm not going to watch the UFC. Listen, here's the fact. Dana's a massive Trump supporter. He spoke at some of his rallies. You know, he makes no secret of it. But once again, same thing. Do you enjoy the fights? Do you like the fights? Then who cares which way Dana leans politically? I certainly don't. I couldn't care less. You know what? I did see someone was telling me at the weekend, apparently when Trump was at Madison Square Garden, a lot of people, their phones got scrambled. Like their iPhones got reverted back to factory settings. Some people, their phones even just were completely wiped and broken, just trash, and they had to buy new phones. So I think I read it online. There's a story saying apparently somebody, one of Trump's security personnel, must have had like some scrambling device in a backpack or something. And whoever came within that vicinity, it just scrambled your phone. And I was just like, wow, that blew my mind. I mean, I guess in theory, I guess it's pretty easy to carry out, but that is just nuts, man. That's some like some crazy Matrix bullshit.
Is that even legal?
Who cares? Who cares? I mean, to be honest, I mean, I get it. I mean, and this is a hypothetical. Well, it's not hypothetical, but I don't know if it's true. As I said, I heard it from someone or I read a story online. But if it is, you take whatever steps you need to take to protect yourself. Because Trump, you know, he's one of those guys, I don't know what he's saying, but everyone wants to get a headline or everyone wants to record him or film him. And what better way to protect yourself than just have somebody scrambling everyone's phones? You know, I have no issue with it.
If my phone got scrambled, I would put my fist through a wall. Are you fucking crazy? Lose all my pictures, all my shit on my phone?
Oh, yeah. 100%, I would go insane. I said I have no problem with it unless it's my phone. If it's my phone, then shit's going to change real fast because that's the worst thing in the world. I mean, everyone's been there. When I was in, when I was in Brazil last week, we went to this Irish bar. This is funny. I'm in Brazil afterwards. We never like to go for a drink in the fighter hotel because it gets a bit crazy. You know what I mean? You got all the fighters, you got all the corners, you got a lot of fans there. And it just, you can't really have like a nice, peaceful drink and a chat. It turns into almost like an appearance, you know? So we get out of there. So we're in Brazil. We go to an Irish bar owned by Serbians in Brazil, but it was a good time. And then when we went to leave, I did the old, you put your hands on there and you're, moment of sheer panic. Because when you can't locate your phone, even if it's just for a few seconds, especially in a public place, you shit your pants. And I ran back there to where I was. I was panicking like crazy. Fortunately, there it was. You know, it turns out this Irish bar owned by Serbians in Brazil was a very safe and decent, honest place, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, who would fucking steal a phone? I mean, you can't get into the phone. You can't do anything. You have, we're essentially, the only way you get it, you have to hold it, wait till somebody calls, and then hold it hostage and say, yeah, give me money for your phone.
No, you can blank a phone. You can put it back to its, you can do the master reset. And then I think, right? Am I correct there?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm so bad with technology. I'm sure there's a million things on my cell phone that it can do that I have no clue. Like if I lost my phone right now, I know that there's like a location thing on my phone where I can, that I'm supposed to turn on and I could find it with another phone. I have no idea how to turn that on.
No, you need to find your iPhone on. You need that, definitely, because that is good. In fact, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Remember, some little shit stole my daughter's phone and I tracked him down using the Find My iPhone and went to the guy's work. We spoke about it.
Maybe it was with Harrington. Maybe it was one that I was off. I didn't hear that.
What happened was, my daughter went to a party. I'll keep it fast because we did talk about it. Went to a party and then my daughter called. She said, I've lost my phone or someone stole my phone. So we looked at Find My iPhone and some little shit had it. We went to a house. My daughter's text messages come up on the screen. He wouldn't pick up the phone. So I text the guy, I said, look, listen, I've got your address. And I said, the address here, just off the 22 freeway. Do the smart thing. Give us the phone back. All of a sudden, boom, phone off. I'm like, you little shit. Next day, it came back on again, but it was at a works location this time. So, and then it turns out we did a bit of investigation. We got the guy's name. The guy's name was Grant. And I went in there. I went into the work, to the front desk at some healthcare company. I said, can I speak to Grant, please? They went, Grant who? I said, I'm not sure, young kid, kind of Mexican looking. It's called Grant. And anyway, some kid comes out and says, hey, what's up? I'm like, listen, you little fuck, give me my daughter's phone. And then the security came up. I'm like, stay out of this, okay? He's stolen my daughter's phone. Anyway, got the phone back. There you go.
He gave it to you right there and then.
He gave it to me right there and then. Of course he did. And I was very happy because I got to just make some threats because, you know, these kids out there at parties, they're spiking girls with drugs. They're leading them astray. They're getting them in cars when they're drunk. I said, listen, you tell your friends that if anything ever happens to my daughter, I'm coming for you and all your friends. I have a very particular set of skills and I will find you and I will kill you. And I wasn't being funny. I meant every goddamn word.
He's just kidding now. He did not threaten that kid's life.
Yeah, kidding everybody. Kidding everybody. Tongue in cheek.
Well, it's funny is like so here's the thing you got to understand about Michael Bisping, okay? And people know this if you're a fan of the show. Maybe you're new to the show. Maybe it's the first time you're happening upon the show and you don't know the history of Michael Bisping, but he is a former UFC middleweight champion. So Michael Bisping going up to a 17-year-old kid who's fucking, I mean, not, hasn't trained a day in his life. The difference in like physical skill set there and what this kid could do, it's the equivalent of me going up to a baby and being like, listen, you little fucking baby, see one more word, I'm gonna fucking take that rattle right from you and shove it up your ass.
But that's not my fault, right? If there's an inequality. So therefore, because he couldn't compete with me in a fight, if he steals my daughter's phone, I got to lay off. And no, he's got to realize that there's a big wide world out there and there's people that are bigger than him and stronger than him and nastier than him. And if you fuck with that guy's daughter, then he's going to come with you in a big way, right? And that's just the world we're living in. And these little snowflake pussies can't handle that. Oh my God, he raised his voice. He did this. He touched me. He made physical contact with me. He called me a name. Well, guess what, dickhead? Right, life is full of what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. You got to be held accountable in this life, okay?
Obviously,
held accountable.
I am just kidding. But I would say that's a comparable comparison. It's like if I grabbed a 2-year-old and I was like, "Grr, little baby,"
I've been there. I got sued for it recently. Remember? I got sued at 24 Hour Fitness, little shit. Oh, God. Edit that bit out. What are we talking about? We're waffling nonsense here. Where should we go? We got some direction. I was hoping to have Justin Gagey on today. I've been going back and forth with Justin Gagey. He's keen to come on the podcast, but unfortunately couldn't make it happen today. So next week, I think we'll have Justin Gagey on. So I'm looking forward to that. He's got a lot to say. What's going on in the world of mixed martial arts? Anything we want to get into? I'm looking here. So Masvidal was invited to the White House. What do we know about that? So GameBread dropped today that Donald Trump has invited him to the White House. Well, that's awesome. Good for him. That has got to piss off Colby Covington so bad, because he's pissed that Trump was there for the Masvidal Diaz fight. And hold on, who was there for Colby's fight? I think Trump's son, right, was there for his fight.
Maybe.
But am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, however you feel about him, he is the president. I mean, once again, we're talking about how we were raised earlier, right, with chivalry and just sort of like, I was just raised, you know, it's the fucking president. You call him Mr. President. If you get invited to the White House to meet the president, it's an honor, you know? And you know, I guess last year or a couple of years ago, a bunch of the Philadelphia Eagles declined the opportunity to go to the White House after they won the Super Bowl. And I remember just sort of thinking like, you take your politics out of it. It's an honor. And what you're doing is you're accepting an honor, and you're accepting something that people for years, it's been sort of a tradition for years, and you just shake his hand and you go, that it is what it is. I don't have to agree with him. The reality is it's almost like an honor for him to meet the team that won the Super Bowl. It's sort of like just a show of like just respect for the position. And I would never boo the president. You know, it's the president. I didn't vote for him. I haven't voted since 2000. I wouldn't vote for him. But regardless, it is the leader of the free world. And if you call yourself an American, you should have a little bit of respect.
Hold on. I agree, by the way. I agree with everything you just said, you know, because I do see a lot of people are very insulting towards him and this and that. And, you know, he sets himself up for that type of thing. But he is the president. I don't agree with his politics. I'm not a Trump fan, whatever. But I wouldn't go out there and call him names and things like that. And I certainly wouldn't be disrespectful to his face, just like I wouldn't with any other world leader, the Queen of England, anyone like that. Do you know what I mean? You just got to hold. It's called being a decent person. You hold certain people like that in a certain level of respect. You know, you say whatever you want behind the back. You know what I mean? But to the face, just play the game and be a nice person. But he's not the leader of the free world, okay? He's the president of the United States of America. He's not the leader of the free world. Don't Google it, because you will be able to find something that backs that up, okay? You Google it, you'll find it. You find whatever you want if you Google the right thing, okay? But he's not the leader of the free world. He's not the leader of the people in England. He's not the leader of the people in Italy, Sweden, Denmark, France, Australia, okay? They're all free. There's lots of people that are free.
Let's see. Well, I want to see what the origin of that, because I want to know where did we come up with that. We do call the president the leader of the free world.
Americans. No disrespect. This is an American podcast. I live in America. I love living in America. You know, it's an amazing country, the land of opportunity. It really is. But there's a lot of countries that are free. You are not the leaders of the free world. Yes, if it kicked off, you know, you probably would kick everyone's asses just simply because of the military and the size of the country. Do you know what I mean?
We're the Francis Ngannou of the free world. All right, baby boy.
Well, I don't know. There's a couple of fucking Russians and Chinese people out there that may beg to differ. But generally speaking, you know, I mean, listen, yeah, you kick our asses and we all fucking know that, you know, but in a popularity contest, we'd win. But go on.
Well, yeah, it's not even necessarily just the president or the queen or whoever. If I met somebody who was just, I don't know, if I met somebody who was just the CEO of a big company, I would just shake their hand. And it's like, I don't know. It's just sort of like you have to have respect for people who do great things and accomplish great things. Even if you hate the president, even if you think he's an idiot, even if you're one of these people going like, yeah, but he was bankrupt 45 times. But like, dude, in spite of all of that, he did just fucking become the president based off of will. Like, remember that there was the moment where, like, Obama was making fun of him at that correspondence dinner, and there was like, oh, yeah, Trump's going to be the next president. Ha ha.
Yeah,
and he had this look on his face like, you'll see, motherfucker. How do you not respect that?
Oh, no, no, I do respect it, but trumpety, trumpety, trump, trump. You're just trumping all day long, buddy. Jesus Christ, it's a lot of trump coming out of Lewis today. But I do respect him, just like I respect anyone that is successful. I get introduced to all these people all the time. Couldn't care less. Hey, Michael, we'd love you to meet this guy. He is the CEO of such and such. And I do. I play the game. Oh, hey, nice to meet you, sir. Oh, congrats on everything, all your success, blah, 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 blah. And then I turn around like, I don't know who he is. You know what I mean? But you do. You be cordial. It's called being respectful. It's called being a nice person.
Mike, let's take a quick moment and talk about BlueChew.com, which is so great. I love BlueChew. If you like sex, you're going to love BlueChew. They offer men a performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. It is the same active ingredient as Viagra or Cialis, and it is available online. So you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to have a weird, awkward conversation about what you're doing with your penis. You do it all online. You fill out a questionnaire. They send it to you right in your mailbox. Nobody's got to know anything, and it truly works. I've been using BlueChew for months now. It makes sex better for both me and my partner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the good news is you can take the chewables on a full or an empty stomach, and apparently they work twice as fast as some of the other people. So if you want to enhance your experience in the bedroom, or you just want to walk around with a gigantic hard-on and be super frustrated, whichever way you want to do it, however you get your kicks, BlueChew.com will take care of it for you. And as Lewis said, you know, you don't have to go to the doctor. It ships directly to your door, discreet packaging, yada, yada, yada. You know the one, BlueChew.com. Enhance your experience. Take your game to another level. And of course, Lewis, we have a fantastic offer for everybody that wants to take advantage.
We're going to give you a free boner. That's right, everyone. Free boner. All you got to do is go to BlueChew.com and you get your first order for free when you use the promo code BELIEVE. So once again, that is BlueChew.com. Get your first order for free. Just use that promo code BELIEVE. Once again, BlueChew.com. All right, where were we?
Speaking of nice people, speaking of respectable people, Khabib Nurmagomedov, whichever way he stands, he seems pretty respectable and nice to me. His management just come out and they're talking that UFC 242 versus Dustin Poirier did apparently over 1 million pay-per-view buys. And according to Harrington's notes right here, only 15 shows in the company's history have ever eclipsed that number before. And if true, it would be the first time since Khabib versus McGregor last October. So congratulations to Khabib Nurmagomedov there. It just goes to show, doesn't necessarily need McGregor, but when he was with McGregor, what was that? Was it 4 million buys? I mean, that's just fucking ridiculous.
I don't know if it was that many.
2.4 million.
Harrington, who are the fighters that have eclipsed a million buys? Give us some names.
The three consistent ones are George St. Pierre, Conor McGregor, and Brock Lesnar. Traditionally, their pay-per-views do over a million every time, no matter who the opponent is.
Ronda Rousey, Khabib, Brock Lesnar, GSP, Conor. I think they're your main ones. John Jones has crept up there a few times, but I don't think he's broken the million mark or even got quite near to it. When me and George St. Pierre, when we fought, we almost cracked the million pay-per-view mark. But that's great. That's great for Khabib and great for Dustin. I don't know if Dustin got a piece of the pie.
It's great for the UFC, to be honest with you. It's really good for the UFC. It's you know, you don't want to be in a position where the sport is being held up on the shoulders of just one or two guys. You know, you want it to be spread out a little more. If I was running a company, I would rather have, you know, five guys that can do 750,000 buys than one guy that can do 2 million buys, and that's it, right? And I think that you're starting to see that. Conor, I don't know what it is, but it just seems like it's not a fluke when Dana White seems to be shifting his focus into making Khabib into a really massive star, you know, sort of stating that it's not necessarily the Conor show anymore. And even with the rumored Conor versus Cowboy booking, it's not like this crazy. It's a booking that makes so much sense, you know, but it's just not like this big, crazy, like, you know, money signs in my eyes, like, holy shit, everyone's going to want to buy that. It's just like a real deal fight.
Khabib. It's good for the UFC and everybody involved with the UFC, or down to all the fighters. You know, at the end of the day, you want to be involved and work for a company or fight for a company that's doing well. You don't want to be a part of a fledgling company that's only reliant upon one or two stars. And other than that, it's all going south. So that's a great sign. It's great for Khabib, great for his star power, great for his wallet, and good for Dustin as well. That's really, really, really good to see. That's positive news. What else we got, Harrington? What else is going on in the world of the mixed martial arts, the arts of mixed martial?
Well, I got a couple of bookings, Mike, if you're interested in that.
Shoot.
Okay. Well, there is the main and co-main event for UFC Raleigh has been announced. It's UFC's first trip to the UFC Raleigh, North Carolina, the college basketball, you know, heaven. Down there.
Don't know it. Not familiar.
Frankie Edgar is going to make his bantamweight debut down there. I think it's Tobacco Road is what it's called. And then the main event is going to be Curtis Blaydes versus Junior Dos Santos. Dos Santos back from the cellulitis episode he had a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and Dos Santos back from Dancing with the Stars. Have you been seeing any of that stuff, Lewis, on his Instagram?
No.
I mean, dude, bring it up, bring it up. You got to see some of the videos are hilarious. I mean, Dos Santos, big guy. Sorry, Harrington, I'm going off on a tangent here from what you said. But Dos Santos went on the Brazilian version of Dancing with the Stars. And the videos pop up now and again on Instagram. And I got to say, he's pretty good. I mean, he's not like the best dancer out there. But, you know, he does the moves. He does it in perfect timing with his partner. And he has the biggest smile on his face. You can see he's having a good time. You can see, you know, he's having fun. And
let's see.
Yeah, that's not a video of him dancing, guys. What we got here. But
that was a video of him dancing.
I didn't see any dancing. I didn't see any movement.
Yeah, they just didn't let it play. It was a goddamn nightmare.
It's not loading.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Anyway, no. If you look at it, he's having a lot of fun. So he's come back from that. That's nice to see. Who's he fighting? Curtis Blaydes? Tough fight because he just lost to Ngannou, didn't he? That was a pretty bad loss. Curtis Blaydes. What's his last few fights? Anyone know?
Well, Curtis Blaydes also, his last loss was to Francis Ngannou. And then he had two comeback fights against lesser heavyweights. So this would be his next big fight up the card. Both guys, last big loss coming to Ngannou.
Yeah. Well, there's no shame in that. Ngannou seems to touch anybody and they fall over pretty much.
Mike, are you a good dancer?
No.
I swear to God, I did not expect you to say no. I expected you to talk about how you were in dance competitions when you were 14 and you were going to maybe go down that route in life.
No, like so when in the younger days when I used to like go to a lot of nightclubs and raves and dance music and stuff, you know, I thought I could get down a little bit. But then, you know, as you start to, well, when you catch your reflection in a mirror on the dance floor and you look like you're spazzing out, I don't really dance much. You know, I'll sway a little bit, you know, I'll give it a little side to side. You know, I just used to be very, very self-conscious when I was younger. You know, now I don't care. Now if I was at a wedding, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll hit the dance hall with my wife and I'll have a little boogie. I'll shake it out. You know what I mean? I'll throw a few shapes out. You know, I'll cut a rug.
I bite my bottom lip and I go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the move. That's a New York fucking like just up against the wall, just one fist, bite the bottom lip. That's that. And I found out that is the whitest way to dance in the world.
Yeah, no, sounds like it. I don't think generally people from the north of England were not the best dancers. I don't know. I mean, that's a general sweeping statement. But me dancing, no. I got two left feet. That's why when I was at school, I could never play football or soccer, as you call it. Because you got to be very nimble. You got to have good coordination with the feet. And dancing, yeah, wasn't one of the things I excelled at.
If you had to choose one reality show to take part in, not obviously not The Ultimate Fighter, not MMA related. One reality show, not necessarily which one would you want to do? Which one do you think you could compete and go the furthest in? So there are, you know, Survivor sort of things.
Naked and Afraid.
Me and Michael Bisping, Naked and Afraid, me and you in the woods, just fucking.
I'll tell you right now, I would be the worst on Naked and Afraid because I got very sensitive feet. Just like walking along, you know, like on the beach, if there's like a few rocks or whatever, I'm I can't walk. I can't walk on rocks. I definitely can't light fires. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a Robinson Crusoe type of guy. I can't go. I'm not that guy. I'm not a hunter. You know, I'm not a hunter gatherer. I'm more of a sit there, boss my wife around and drink beers by the fire type of guy. Do you know what I mean? So I would do pretty bad on Naked and Afraid.
All right. So Dancing with the Stars is out. Naked and Afraid completely out. Survivor. No, you can't build a fire.
What else is there? Big Brother. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that, but I reckon I'd do well on Big Brother.
I don't even know what it is.
Big Brother? Come on.
I've never watched it. I've heard of it. Is it sort of like The Real World? It's just they have cameras in a house?
Yeah, so I think you guys have it in the States, but in the UK, it was massive. It was massive. I think it might have gone away now, but yeah, just like, I don't know, 20 people or however many people live in a house. No contact with the outside world, and every week they vote and one person gets booted out of the house. What else?
Big American Brother. Idol, so you could sing.
Cannot sing. Cannot sing. Cannot dance.
Oh, what about The Bachelorette? So you could compete for the love of a beautiful woman against 20 other suitors. Just very beat sexist. The shit out of them.
Very sexist and outdated. I'm sorry. That doesn't fly with me and my, 2019 qualities. The SJW Bisping. Sorry, can't do it. Can't cook. So there wouldn't be a chef show that I could excel at. In fact, I'm not good at anything. Thank God that I found fighting.
Can you do sort of a Jersey Shore Italian Guido sort of accent? Because you could be on the Jersey Shore.
Hey, what the fuck, Lewis, man? Yo, what the fuck? Hey.
It's a fucking pizza. It's a fucking Italiano.
I'm gonna fucking slice, sir. No. Geordie Shore, that's like the UK version. Geordie Shore, I forget what it's called. I know we said we weren't gonna talk about this, but we're talking about reality TV shows. But there's a new MMA league promotion coming up called Fame in England, and basically they're taking fighters, well, not celebrities, I use that term loosely, contestants, there you go, on a reality TV show, and now they're going to fight each other in mixed martial arts. I mean, it's lame. It's clutching at straws. I know you want to do it. Well, do it. Sign up for it. Harrington, have we got any details?
Do we have a trailer?
Put it in the notes, Harrington. What have we got?
Well, the biggest thing for me, I was just trying to find it again, was the press conference that they had. Essentially, they had, two guys sitting down at a press conference, very much in Conor McGregor style, just looking for the headline when they started just throwing hands and water bottles and any chairs, anything they could find at each other on stage, which I don't know how I felt about it. It was entertaining, but let me see. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, sure. I hate it. I hate all that because it's just contrived. They're just trying to do that. They've seen, as you said, people like Conor McGregor do that. And that's how they're trying to act. They're trying to behave. I mean, yeah, I don't like it. I mean, listen, KSI and Paul Logan, they had those two fights and they made some money and good for them. And I got to say that KSI, Paul Logan fight, they did bring it to one another and it was entertaining. But I do have an issue when people start taking fighting arts, which isn't a joke. It's not a joking matter. It shouldn't, it's not. There's certain people that fight for a reason, and then when it's becoming so popular now that, wannabe celebrities on reality TV stars are now going to take part in fights and things like that, I kind of have an issue with it. Charity boxing fights, stuff like that. Yeah, sure, go ahead. Earning a bit of money for charity and having fun. But when they start doing it, they're trying to take themselves. They're having press conferences. They're sticking suits on with bow ties and they're throwing bottles of water. It's like, come on, give me a break. Get out of here.
Well, welcome to fucking the life of a stand-up comedian, because that's what it's just been since the beginning of time, dude. You could just anybody, some actor, some child actor that no longer does it anymore. They're like, you know what? I'm just going to go do stand-up comedy. That's what happened with Screech, Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. Didn't matter. Somebody go see him. I remember years ago, Kramer got in trouble when he had that racial tirade on stage. But it's because
what did he say? I remember that. What did he say?
So he was on stage at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles years and years and years ago, and he started losing the crowd. And there was a bunch. It's like a Laugh Factory is more of an urban room, meaning there's a lot more black and brown people there than Comedy Store or some of the other clubs. And he started getting heckled by this group of black people. So I don't believe that he was trying to be racist. I think he was fucking trying to shock the crowd and just looking for something to get a laugh, but he just didn't have the skill set to handle being heckled. So he started screaming that the guy was the N-word, over and over again. And he was like, back in my day, we'd have you hanging from a tree in our front yard, crazy shit. Patrice O'Neill, who's one of my favorite comedians of all time, we've talked about it before, he defended Kramer and talked specifically about just trying to, the whole idea of you're trying to find something funny, and if you don't have the skill to deliver on it, it's fucking awkward, dude. And if you're choosing to use one of the most hateful, most offensive words that are out there, and you don't have the skill to figure out how to make it funny, well, then you're on The Tonight Show apologizing to Jerry Seinfeld and crying about how your career's over, because that's what happened to him. I mean, nobody heard from him ever since. I don't think he's done anything since that incident.
Yeah, but to be honest, I mean, come on. That's pretty much career suicide. Yeah. Especially when you're in a room, as you say, and thanks for describing what urban means. I appreciate that. And for those people that don't know, urban refers to black or brown people in the world. No, you can't do that in this day and age. Listen, I'm not for this over PC world that we live in, but that was pretty stupid. But, you know, it is funny. I mean, as you say, everybody wants to be a comedian, and it seems everybody wants to be a fighter. And here's a guy here, because it's point three in the notes. James Haskell, former rugby player, he's been doing some color commentary, and now he's going to fight. I think he's going to fight for Bama. And he was just on a reality TV show as well he's on it right now, called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So basically what that is, a bunch of celebrities, and I use that term very loosely, but a bunch of celebrities, maybe they'll have one or two actual celebrities, then a bunch of people that are just on the cusp who have been in the news. They go out to Australia, they live in the jungle, and they live in the jungle. It's pretty
the last person staying, the last person to survive wins.
Yeah, so they have a public vote every week, but they have to do all these stupid challenges, you know, like like on Fear Factor, it's that type of stuff. So it's kind of like Big Brother in the jungle mixed with Fear Factor, mixed with Naked and Afraid. It's all those things. Throw it all together, mix it up in a pot and see what you got. So anyway, James Haskell, former rugby player, he's on there now, and he was copping a bit of flack. Is that right, Harrington? What happened there? He was copping a bit of flack because he's referring to himself, I think, as an MMA fighter when he hasn't actually had one. Is that correct?
You nailed it.
Care to elaborate?
No, I mean, you know, when they come around to these guys, he has signed with Bellator. He signed a multi-fight contract with Bellator, actually. He was doing color commentary for Bama and some of the smaller regional promotions in England. It's how he got the bug for the sport after he got out of rugby. And he went on this game show, and they kept coming around to him. Just like, you know, what is your description? And underneath, pro MMA fighter, despite the fact that he was a rugby union player for like 20 years or something, and that's clearly what people know him from. He was just getting a little bit of shit for that, calling yourself a fighter before you take a pro fight.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the story. I mean, listen, I like James. I know James very well. I say very well. I know him pretty well. I did some work with him through BT Sport. You know, it's a TV channel in the UK, and he used to do some work for them, and he interviewed me a couple of times and things like that. You know, we go back and forth. He actually messaged me recently asking for some advice, but no, he's a good dude, and he obviously wants to do it. And if you see him there, he's a big, strong, fit athlete. In fact, he's very strong. You know that flagpole thing? You know what I mean? Like you have a street lamp or whatever, and they grab it like this,
yeah,
and they make their body go completely sideways. And he's a big dude. He can do that. So that shows how strong he is. But that is funny, though. If he goes on a reality TV show and he's played for England 77 times, but he's introducing himself as an MMA fighter. Just goes to show everybody wants to be a fighter these days. What's wrong with being an international rugby superstar?
Well, I mean, technically, if he's no longer a rugby superstar, he could be former rugby player, MMA enthusiast,
wannabe. I'm joking. I like James. He's awesome.
Yeah, he looks like he beat the shit out of most people. He looks like a beast. Fuck that.
He's a big, big dude. He's a big dude. He is, and he's a strong guy. And he trains at London Shoot Fighters, which is a fantastic team in London. So,
well, that's the other thing is when you get athletes who are, I mean, that. It's so funny because when I was a kid, I never looked at athletes as being tough. Like when I was a kid, I would look at like the kids that were from the hood who like grew up poor, who were just down to fight, who were like, those were the kids who I looked at as being tough, but it was never like the kids on the wrestling team or the kids on the football team. And I don't even know if they realized how tough they were, because like these guys were fucking, I remember some of the kids, I think back some kids in like 9th, 10th grade, they were just built like fucking walls. But there was no part of me that was like, if that kid stepped up and started talking shit, I would have no fear of that kid at all. But you're sort of seeing that, like, I mean, dude, now that MMA is such a massive sport and there's money in it and there's, you know, a real career there, to kind of see what's going to happen over the course of the next 10, 20 years, the type of athletes that decide to go into this sport. I think the standard is going to be the George St. Pierre, John Jones level athlete. That's going to be the bare minimum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's just getting better and better all the time. But I never looked at athletes as role models to me when I was a kid, or people that I aspired to be like. In fact, I never had anyone other than like a couple of movie stars. You know what I mean? I used to enjoy their movies, but I never looked up to anybody, never had any particular heroes. I never had musicians, you know, that I loved, or athletes. I hated football. In England, football is a big thing, soccer, and we wasn't into that. Never really watched sports. I wish I liked sports. I really do. I want to be one of the guys. I want to be that guy talking about the game at the weekend and stuff, but it just doesn't grab me. I just don't feel compelled to watch it.
Yeah, it's silly. I'm watching adults play a game and I'm rooting for it. It always came off very silly to me.
I tell you what I do like. I like basketball. I do enjoy basketball. I do find myself enjoying what I see. I just need to pick a team and then root for them. And then I guess I get emotionally invested. But I tell you what, we're going to talk about this real fast. Friend of the show. Very, very good friend of mine. And this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people. It's going to be a very, very sad day, but it looks like Luke Rockhold may be retiring.
No.
I know.
No. Just say it ain't so.
God, we're assholes. No, Luke Rockhold, here's his quote. Fighting takes a lot. I've done it. I've been to the top of the game. I just don't have the same passion or the hunger at this point. I'm excited to go into other realms of life. I know I have a lot of fans out there. Oh, I hate it when people say fans. I'm sorry I'm not fighting, but you never know. Maybe someday I'll be back. I will, but I don't foresee it at this point. Obviously, can't fight forever. I can make more money outside the cage. So if I can do that, why not? Not to have to deal with the political bullshit that comes with fighting and the UFC. All that stuff we know about. I like it. It makes me happy. Listen, he's right. He achieved a lot in the sport. I feel sorry for Luke. I was taking the piss. I like Luke. He's a decent enough guy. He became Strikeforce champion. Oh, piss off. Oh, there's Roy. Strikeforce champion. He became a UFC champion. You know, he had some great wins. He had a fantastic career, you know. So he's got a lot to be proud about. And at some point, you do have to move on. You can't do it forever. You know, and certainly, I hate to say it, getting knocked out cold, 3 of your last 4, it's definitely time to call it a day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just don't really like Luke Rockhold's thing. It just bugs me. Even that statement, just the idea that he can make more money outside of MMA. Yes, okay. You can make more money outside of anything, technically. Go become a rocket scientist or fucking, you know, invent a new computer. Yes, there's other things. You're supposed to be passionate. You need to say, hey, dude, things didn't go the way that I wanted to for the past few years. And I'm not where I want to be at in the sport. And I'm going to go. But to sort of pass the blame onto there not being enough money, you have other passions.
Political bullshit.
Shit. No. Yeah, dude, if you were winning, there would be no political bullshit. There'd be nothing else. If he had won his last 4 fights in a row, he would be talking about how he's really passionate. And I just feel like that's sort of a weak way to go out.
Okay, I was trying to be the bigger person, but you're right. Let's go all in. You're correct. Jan Błachowicz knocking him out had nothing to do with the politics of the UFC. Okay, who else knocked him out? Yoel Romero knocking him out and then kissing him, borderline Me Tooing, sexually assaulting him afterwards, had nothing to do with the politics of the UFC. Left Hook Larry going in there and stealing his soul had nothing to do with the politics. So you're absolutely right. If he just said, look, listen, you know, turns out that you can't do this forever. It's catching up with me. I've been knocked out a few times and I've got some opportunities outside the UFC. I'm going to go with that. Maybe I'll come back one day after I've had a break, but right now, you know, and can he earn more money? I don't know if he can earn more money. I mean, yes, he's modeling and I do see him around. I do go through airports and see him at the Ralph Lauren stand and things like that. So good luck to him. As I always say, I'm always happy when fighters find other avenues for success. But can he earn more money than being a high-level UFC fighter in modeling? Because I don't think he's not gonna become a supermodel. You know, I mean, how much do you think that contract with Ralph Lauren is, if you were to speculate?
I couldn't. Why would anybody fucking care? If I ever looked at a billboard and given a shit who the model was on it ever once? Not once. I don't care. Whatever. More power to him. I'm not wishing anything bad on him. I'm just saying, and this has nothing to do with you, his thing just sort of sticks. I'm not rooting for that guy. Yeah, he's gorgeous, and he's fucking, just comes off like a baby, and it's like, it's just, I don't know. It's the opposite of you.
His problem is that he's so aloof. You know what I mean? Everywhere he is, he acts like he's better than the situation. Every time he would step into an octagon to fight, he would act like, I'm so much better than this guy. It doesn't even require my full effort. Excuse me, pardon me. You know, and that's just how he's, and the way he goes through his life, kind of looks down his nose at a lot of people. As I said, I do like the guy. I've spoken to Luke, you know, when there hasn't been any animosity involved. And I've had good conversations. And I always said, and I do stand by this, Daniel Cormier is a guy that I have a lot of respect for. I think he's a great guy. He's a great human being. And for Daniel Cormier to be so close with him, you know, to be friends with him, that shows that he must be a decent person, because I don't think that DC would associate with a total dickhead. You know what I mean? So right. I think the public persona or the image, you know, maybe isn't as fair to him as what he is in real life, but he doesn't do himself any favors.
Yeah. It's the quotes. It's the interviews. It's just sort of like, well, you know, look, he wouldn't like me. If me and Luke Rockhold went to high school together, he would be the good-looking fucking jock who is popular, and I would be the weirdo who's listening to Tool and fucking wearing black t-shirts, and he would call me a fag, and I would call him a fag, and we just wouldn't be friends.
I would have hated him at school. I would have hated him because he's so tall. And as you say, he is a good-looking bastard, and his family, no doubt, comes from money. And he coming from school. I hated everyone at school that came from the perfect families, and they had the hair gelled all perfect. You know what I mean? And they got dropped off in the nice Mercedes. Like, you motherfucker, see me down on the playground.
Have you become what you've hated?
Look at me. I have perfectly gelled hair. I drive a Mercedes. I'm fantastic at football. No, I haven't, you prick. But no, I hated those type of people. And Luke Rockhold at school, I can only imagine he was insufferable, because all the girls would have loved him. Let's be honest. And it would have just been pure jealousy, but I would have hated the guy.
For sure. For sure. All right, look, we gotta wrap up in a little bit. I want to get a few questions in today. And I know Harrington and Brian did pull a few aside. So real quick, I'll say, all right, number one, you love the show. Go subscribe on iTunes if you're using iPhone. If not iPhone, subscribe on Stitcher or any of the other apps that you guys can get the podcast on. You can get all the latest episodes, both in video and audio format, on believeyoumepod.com. Everything is right there, whether it's iPhone or not. You could download, you could stream, you could subscribe to the RSS feed. Also, go to our YouTube channel. Even if you just stream it from there, still subscribe on our YouTube channel. That helps us up. The more subscribers we have, the more we show up in people's feeds, so make sure you do that as well. And also, if you love the show, every episode we've ever done is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial. You have access to every episode, pre-release, uncensored, and ad-free. Last but not least, I am on tour right now. I got a lot of shows coming up. If you guys want to see me in your hometown, Luis J. Gomez presents luisjgomez.com. And, you know, there's rumors that there could be a live Believe You Me podcast coming to Houston at Skankfest. It's not guaranteed. Right, there's rumors. Right.
One at a time. Do you know what I mean? Fucking hell, Lewis. You want to plug James's birthday? You want to plug you're going for a dump later in the day? You want to plug this? You want to plug that? Stagger the plugs. You got to pick and choose. You can't go all in. You can't plug everything at once, okay? Okay.
I feel like if I plugged everything every 15 minutes, I've been plugging into thing. That's a terrible way to do it. I disagree. I think you should get it all out of the way.
Enough goddamn plugs. I will tell you this, though. I'm glad we're doing the questions, because I did see some comments on the YouTube session yesterday. They're blaming you, Lewis. They are blaming you for the questions not being read out, which I know isn't the case. They said, oh, whenever Harrington's on the show, we get to do the questions and Lewis doesn't allow it. It's like, yeah, we do the questions when Harrington's on the show because we need the stuff to talk about. When me and you talk, we flow back and forth. Do you know what I mean? When Harrington's on, we're like, yeah, let's do the questions. Let's get through the questions. And you are great. And we thank you for standing in, Harrington. But let's do we have some questions? We have some good ones, some videos, some actual questions, maybe written in questions. What do we have?
I don't want to get in trouble here, but if you guys want to ask a question, you can shoot us an email, video or not, bympod@gmail.com. That's where you can answer. We will answer all your questions. I'd say pick three, and we'll answer three. So go ahead.
First up, Richard from San Diego.
So my question is, what advice do you have for people that are trying to figure out what their destiny is and that just want to live a good life and reach their potential and do what they're destined to do? Lewis, I would also like to hear what you have to say about this. Love you guys. Podcast is awesome. Mike, you're a legend. Lewis, you're hilarious. Harrington, you're cool too. And keep up the great work, guys. Conceive, believe, achieve.
What's his name?
Richard.
Richard. Rich.
Dick. Richard. Good old Richie Rich Rich.
Good old Dick.
Old double dick in the house with his double dickery. What does he want to know?
He wanted to know
what was that question.
How do you, essentially, how do you figure out what your destiny is, what you're meant to do? How did you figure out that you were going to be a fighter? I was going to be a comedian. I understand what he was sort of talking about, and I have an answer.
It's a difficult one. Go on, you go on and answer it, because realistically, everybody's path's different. Everybody's unique, you know, and the way you figure it out. I mean, like, for example, I was sitting there with my daughter last night, and I was, you know, talking about, because Callum's in college, obviously, and we FaceTime from San Francisco. And by the way, he just received his singlet from Team UK. He's going out to Austria soon to wrestle, representing Great Britain. And he sent him his singlet with his name on, with the British flag. And that was a very, very proud moment. And then when we put the phone down, I turned the attention to my daughter and we started saying, what do you want to do at college and things like that? And she has no idea. And I never had any idea. But so I guess essentially that's what this guy's saying. What is your destiny going to be? But you said you had an answer, Lewis. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that you're not supposed to know it yet. He looked like a young dude. He looked like he was maybe 21 years old. And it's not the 30s. People aren't getting married at 18 now and going off to war and buying their first house at 20. I think everyone is a little bit younger for a little bit longer. And now that I have a kid, I'm happy about that as well. I want my kid to be a kid for as long as possible. And I want him to, you know, call me dad and, you know, treat me as such for as long as possible. But I think that, number one, you know what you're most passionate about. You know what it is. You know your thing. You know the thing that makes you happiest. And it's an old hack saying, but do what you love and the money will follow. I really do believe that. I think that there's a path to being successful and to being prosperous and making the money that you want to make while doing what you want to do with your life, while doing something that you're very passionate about. I believe that there's a series of decisions you can make in order to get there and have those, your passion and you know, your success sort of meet. I personally live it. You know, I don't think that I'm particularly talented or particularly great at anything. I just have a belief in my ability to accomplish it. And because I have that belief, I take those chances that I think a lot of people are afraid to take. But to shorten it up, because I want you to jump in here, obviously. I have my big Jay Okerson, very good friend of mine, a Legion of Skanks. His daughter is going to college next year, and he was sort of talking about it like, he was like, she doesn't really know what she wants to do. I feel like we're going to sort of waste money sending her to college. And I'm like, she's 18. Nobody really knows what they want to do at 18. No. The reality is, going off to college, she's going to probably figure out what she's most passionate about. She's going to meet new people that are going to inspire her. The same thing with Callum. You know, Callum probably doesn't truly know what he wants to be, but he's going to figure it out soon enough. And because he's a bright kid and a good person and has an open mind and has the confidence to take chances, he'll get there. So I think it's about just having the ability and the wanting to have having the belief in yourself to take the chances and do what you truly want to do.
Yeah, here's what I always say, and I've said this many times, to be honest, and it does kind of apply. Everybody has a skill. Everyone has something that they're good at, you know, something that they lean towards, you know, and I don't care what that is. It could be anything. It could be something totally random. You could be a good comedian. You could be good at martial arts. You could be good at sewing. You could be good at playing video games. You could have an eye for music or video creation, whatever it is. Generally, people have something that they're good at, something that they're passionate about, and something that they just always were good at. You know, they had a natural aptitude for it. So I always say, and this is what I did, you know, figure out what that is. Figure out what your skill is first. Figure out what you're good at and what you enjoy, right? You got to enjoy it, because then almost it doesn't feel like work. But then when you figure out what that skill is, and that can take a while. For me, figuring out that my skill was fighting and doing martial arts and able to compete – to figure that out and to realize that I could do that for a living, that took me a long time to do so. But when you do figure out what that skill is, then figure out what's the then think about what is the absolute highest point I could get to with that skill. You know what I mean? Say, right, so I'm good at this. And if I'm good at this, with that skill, I could become that. Okay. And then you figure out, so what are the steps I need to do? Okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to study that at college maybe, or I need to do this, or I need to be an intern. I need to get an apprenticeship. I need to work at that, you know, and it's going to be hard, you know, and things don't happen overnight because you're going to start at the absolute rock bottom. And when you start at the bottom, there's no glamorous perks. You know, you don't get paid a lot of money. People don't know who you are because you're starting at the fucking bottom. But if you're passionate about it and you love it and you enjoy it, then it won't feel like that. And you're on a mission, and slowly but surely you'll start making gains. You'll start making strides in that area and you'll start doing better. You start maybe getting a little bit of money, get a promotion, work your way up. Maybe eventually then you get your own company. So figure out what you're good at. Figure out what your skill is, what your passion is, and then think about where the absolute, you know, height of that could take you, and then put some discipline, some hard work, and a bit of self-belief into it, and away you go. There you go. Off to the races.
Boom, baby boy. Actually, we do only have time for one more, guys, so pick the better of the two questions.
This is the thing. This is the thing. The guy on YouTube was correct. We said this was going to be a question-heavy show. We said we're going to do three questions. There he is, straight away. Killing the questions. Some poor guy, Lewis, has sat there. They dedicated their time. That was their skill. They figured out that their skill was video question production for Believe You Me. And he did that, and he sent it in. And you're not even doing the honor of playing the video.
Actually, you know, I decided, forget it. Let's just drop one of the ads off the show. We'll just do another question. Forget it.
But fucking play the question, you tit. Come on.
Stefan.
So my 3-year-old daughter just said fuck for the first time yesterday. How often do your kids cuss? And do you get them in trouble for it?
My son never curses for the most part. He has a few times. He's like slipped up a couple little times, and then but more often than not, like, he'll tell me to stop cursing. He'll be like, Dad, you can't say that. You know, yeah. He's a sweet little kid. He doesn't have a potty mouth at all, you know.
Yeah. So Lucas is the same way. I mean, I swear in front of him. I try not to, of course. You know, I don't purposely swear in front of my child, but I do. You know what I mean? I'll be having a conversation and he'll be in the room and I'll say, oh, fuck, or whatever. And I go, oh, sorry, Lucas. And he laughs and he goes, it's okay, Daddy. I know. But I've never heard him actually swear once. And I feel like that's the best way to be, believe it or not, because you can't shelter your child and just not swear. You know what I mean? Because people talk like that in the wide world. That's how people go on. But you want to raise them to where they know these words exist, but then they choose not to use them. Do you know what I mean? You can't shelter them away from them, pretend they don't exist. And then all of a sudden they hear them. They're like, wow, all these new words. I've got a new vocabulary and they're swearing left, right, and center. You got to raise them to where, listen, swear words exist. You might hear them here and there, but we prefer it if you were a better person and didn't use those words. And we're very lucky. Callum, Ellie, and Lucas are all like that. I've heard Ellie swear a couple of times. Callum's 18 now, so he swore a few times here and there. But generally, he doesn't choose to use that kind of vocabulary in front of his parents. That's out of respect. I'm sure with his mates he does. I'm not a fucking idiot. But Lucas, we haven't heard anything yet. I suggest you take your daughter and you slap her. Okay.
Cigarette
you
bend her burns.
You give her a good slap. You maybe take the belt buckle. She'll stop saying fuck pretty quick. I guarantee it. I'd say we got time for one more, Lewis. Come on, baby boy.
Sure, we got time for one more. I probably truly don't, though. So I'm up here. I got to pick up my son from school. Right, I don't. It's not because I'm fucking around. The reason Harrington can do questions all the live long day is because Harrington has to go sleep in a garbage can after the show. I have to go raise a fucking child.
We get it. You're a big deal. We'll leave it there, guys. We'll make up your questions. You're hard. They put so much work into these questions, Lewis. That's right. The only reason. I feel for them. You know, the questions are piling up. We've got amazing content that we're just not using to the masses, you know. But no, you got to pick James up, and that is a very, very valid point. So we'll call out there. We'll be back Monday with another episode. Have a great weekend. Is there any fights this weekend? Is there?
No, right?
Nope, 2 weeks off, guys. So plenty of time on Monday.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. 2 weeks off. All right, well, listen, Lewis, go get James. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk soon. Fellas, ladies, gentlemen, children, thanks for listening to the show. Take care.